Awesome to have you here this morning. Well, that song ties into this whole idea of me and my hot mess. We often are in need of a rescue. We have a propensity to make messes, which we're going to talk more about today. My name's Kurt. If we haven't had a chance to meet, it is great to meet you this morning. If you're here for the very first time, welcome. We're excited you're here. And for the rest of you, man, it's good to see you again. I have been gone for like the last 10 days. Some of you are like, we didn't even notice. But I've been gone with a team in Africa. We're a part of the Village Project Africa trip, which was just phenomenal. And we were really there kind of finishing a project that we began earlier about 6 months ago, late last year, where many of you chose a student off a wall in the commons to prepare a backpack for, a school backpack, school supplies, and an opportunity to just build into the high school students at the Village Project. And I tell you what, we were overwhelmed. Part of our trip was organizing the backpacks, handing them out to students, and we weren't prepared for this. It was like Christmas Day, because this is the only gift that these students get all year, and you guys were a part of making that happen. And so if you did not see some of the posts on the social media channels, just take a look at the moment when they kind of discovered what was in their bags right here. I mean, it was phenomenal. I mean, this is like school supplies, all right? And do your kids get that excited over school supplies? No, all right? Mine don't either. So, and you guys were a part of making that happen. So, so well done, Crosspoint, on just making their day, month, and year is phenomenal. Now, something really cool happened as we were in the midst of that moment. If you've been here 7 or 8 months, you may have been a part of this thing called the Obsession Journey last fall. And during the Obsession Journey, many of us, we submitted a selfie with a prayer request, and we sent those, we actually put those photos on prayer cards, and we sent our images or our pictures to some of the students, staff, and families at the Village Project, and they became our prayer partners. And so they had your picture on their walls praying for us, and that God would just do something unique in our lives. And so when we were handing out the backpacks, one of the members of our team, her name is Susan, she prepared a backpack for a student that had the same name, Susan. She chose her card off the wall out here. And so when Susan's name was called, our Susan from our team grabbed that backpack, said, hey, I want to take it to the student. I haven't met her. She gets up and hands it to this 10th grade student, and the girl goes, oh, my gosh, I know you. And Susan's like, what do you mean? We've never met. She says, no, I've been praying for you for the last 6 months. She says, I got your prayer card. It sits, you know, next to my bed. I pray for you every morning. And Susan says, well, I prepared your backpack. And they just had this cool moment where their world just got really, really small. And it was just one of these kind of God-infused moments. And we just had like moment after moment of that, serving the students and interacting with this team and really going on our community's behalf to finish this project, which we'll again do this fall. And you'll have the opportunity to be a part of that team if you want to next summer. So well done, Crosspoint, making their month, year. These students were incredibly grateful. So thank you. Well, hey, we're talking me and my hot mess, and the thing we've been saying throughout this entire season is I know a mess or two when I see one because I've been a mess or two. We all have the propensity to make messes. We've made messes financially. We've made messes academically, maybe in our health and our eating or our body, or, you know, we make messes relationally. Maybe we've messed up a few marriages. Whatever it might be, I mean, we have this propensity to make messes, and so all we have to do is kind of look backwards a bit. We don't have to look backwards. I mean, all we have to do is look around, because we may be in the midst of a major mess right now. And then last week, we looked at one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, and how God, you know, Jesus tells us that God looked down on this messy world, and he didn't burn it up, he didn't flood it like he did all the way back in the Old Testament. This time, he actually sent his only son. He sent Jesus into the mess of the world. And so we looked at four different encounters, and these are just four of many, but four encounters in the New Testament where Jesus gets involved in people's lives that are just a mess. And in the midst of this, we discover that the mess is actually what connects us to Jesus. I mean, it's when we acknowledge, oh my gosh, this isn't the way things are supposed to go. We're like a baby step away from acknowledging God and our need for a Savior when we get to that point. And so if you woke up this morning and you're here and you're like, man, my life is a mess and I don't even know how I'm going to get out of this, just know that your Heavenly Father understands that and He actually meets you in that. But there is a but He loves you too much to leave you there. In fact, Jesus told us that we can actually approach God and we can refer to Him as our Heavenly Father. He says this is about the best image you're ever going to come across on our planet in terms of what it means to know God, is to think of Him as a Heavenly Father. And so if you had a good earthly father or if you had a good earthly mother, they accepted you exactly as you are, but they didn't leave you that way, and our Heavenly Father does the same. And so today, I want to kind of dive into one of the misperceptions that we often kind of, you know, fall into with Christianity, and that's that it's easy to reduce Christianity to just a series of sins and forgiveness. I mess up, and then I get forgiveness, and I go and I do the same mess up, and then I get forgiveness. And we find ourselves in this pattern of the same sins over and over, and that's not Christianity. That's what I would call country music. All right, and so any country music fans in the room this morning? Just out of curiosity. Okay, a few of you. All right, so this is not a knock on country music. It's just like that's what country music's all about, right? Like, oh my gosh, I messed things up. But guess what? God forgives me. And it's true, right? And then we go and write another album, and guess what? It's like the same story. Well, I did it again. But guess what? God forgives me. And so it's just this cycle over and over. I mean, I'm a long gone Waylon song on vinyl. I'm a back row sinner at a tent revival, but she believes in me. Like she believes a few of you know the song, right? And she loves me like Jesus did, right? I mean, I heard Jesus, he liked wine. He and I would probably get along just fine, but he could calm a storm and he could heal the blind. I think he'd understand a heart like, isn't that one? Mine. I mean, that's country music, right? But that's not Christianity. In fact, Christianity, God always is willing to extend grace. But it's not just this rhythm of sin, mess up, create a mess of myself, and then get forgiveness, and I say the magic words. If we're not careful, we reduce Christianity to that. All right, God has a way bigger dream for your life than just that cycle right there. And if you're not a Christian, if you're here this morning and you just kind of came trying to check out faith, man, first of all, we're excited you're here. We're a place where you can do that at your own pace. But I want you to hear this morning. If you don't hear anything else, here's what I want you to hear. You know, this brand of Christianity that you may have seen, maybe in a friend or in other people who call themselves Christians, where it's like I can mess up, and then I just get forgiveness. And I know why that kind of drives you crazy, because you just watch us, those of us that are Christians, kind of fall into this same cycle over and over, and you wonder about us, and you might have friends who you know kind of live this way, and you just get annoyed with it. And I get it. I mean, I totally get it, because you're kind of like, you know, our lives are basically the same except for two things. You know, one is what you do for an hour on weekends. I mean, those who are Christians usually spend like an hour in church, and the other is like, you know, Christians feel bad about it, and you're like, but I don't. So why don't you just convert to my way, because I don't feel all the guilt and shame when I, you know, screw things up and make a mess. And so, you know, if you're not a Christian, I'm just trying to state the obvious that, you know, you look at us sometimes, you're like, man, you guys, I don't know, it just seems like an endless cycle. And it's almost like you treat God like he's this old, forgetful old man, you know, who just like forgets about your stuff. And in fact, you've maybe heard people talk about Christianity this way, or you've maybe even heard Christians say, well, you know, God, when you become a Christian, he just forgets all your sins, which would be awful convenient, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine if Jesus just like, you know, forgot all of our sins. I mean, whatever you do on the weekend, and then you like say the magic, like, God, please forgive me, and all of a sudden he just forgets everything. I mean, that would be super convenient. And so if you're not a Christian and you just can't quite buy into that, then let me just tell you, you're exactly right, all right? You're totally spot on this. See, so I got good news, bad news. God does not forget your sins. I mean, that'd be cool. That'd be awful convenient if he did. I mean, think about it for a moment, man. I mean, wouldn't you be a better husband if, like, you could just forget your wife's sins? Like, you wouldn't remember them, like the two or three that she has, which doesn't have much impact. So let's go for bigger impact. Ladies, let's talk to you for a moment. Think how good a wife you would be if you could just forget all of your husband's sins. I mean, people would be like, how long have you been married? And you're like, I don't know. All I can remember is 4 weeks, but I think it's been 20 years. Because you forgot all of the seasons where he just like messed up all the time, or we messed up all the time. And that would be super convenient, but that's not the way it goes. See, God doesn't just forget our sins. I mean, do you think God knows what's in the Bible? I mean, do you think God knows the story of like David and Bathsheba and like this adulterous moment in David's life? Of course he does. I mean, he simply doesn't just forgive it or forget it. He forgives our sin. But see, if he actually forgot our sin, that would actually validate some of the things we feel, that when my life is a mess, God wants nothing to do with me. And so he has to forget it so that he doesn't see all of that. But see, it's actually quite the opposite. God sees all the sin. He actually sees all the sin, and he actually, in spite of it, moves toward us. Which that's a whole different level of deep right there, when you consider that there's a Heavenly Father who sees it all, and yet he still moves toward us. And so I want us to kind of dive into this idea of this dream that God has for our lives, which is way more than just behavior modification. It's way more than, you know, I hope I don't get in trouble again, or I hope I don't get arrested again, or I hope I don't find myself in that thing again. I mean, it's way more than like just a get out of trouble card, all right? So I want to kind of unpack this dream that we find the Apostle Paul talking about. And my hope is that for those of us that are Christians, and even those of us who maybe are kind of exploring, you know, whether we put the weight of our life into who Jesus is, I hope you get a broader picture of what God wants to do in and through you. That following Jesus is way more than just, you know, modifying my behavior. So 2,000 years ago, there's a guy by the name of Paul, the Apostle Paul. If you've been around here for any time, you've heard us talk about him. He's one of my favorite people in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, he began starting churches all around the Mediterranean Rim. And so one of the reasons I love Paul is if you kind of like grew up in church, or you never were really in church, you're not really sure about the whole church God thing, not sure about Christians, you're going to like Paul, because he wasn't either. He actually grew up in this religious system. He was all about the rules. He was all about all the do this and don't do that and modify your behavior. And so if you're not sure about this whole Christian thing, you might like Paul, because he actually didn't like Christians. He was actually trying to put Christians in jail. He was trying to shut down the first century church. And so Paul, one day on this road, he's traveling on this road to Damascus, and God just impresses himself on him in a super powerful way. And he experiences in that moment the kind of extravagant, scandalous grace of Jesus in a way that he'd never experienced before. And in that moment, he gets a glimpse and actually experiences God's grace in his life. And he's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And he does an about face. He changes. He flops from going, you know, being against Christians to becoming one. And then he becomes an evangelist. He's like, have you heard about this? Have you heard about how good this good news is? That's what an evangelist is. All right, so many times we think an evangelist is this super spiritual person. I've been an evangelist for a lot of things. Like when I started using Mac, like when I moved from PC to Mac like 9 years ago, I thought I like dreaded the move, but I knew I needed to do it for how we work here. And so I'm like, in 2 hours, I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing's amazing. It's intuitive. It's so easy. Have you heard about it? I became an official salesman for Mac. I wasn't making a paycheck, but I'm just like selling it to everybody. I'm like, Mac is awesome. Now, you may not agree with me, but that's what I thought. And so that's an evangelist. I was an evangelist for Mac. And so Paul, he's just like, man, have you experienced this? This thing's amazing. And so he starts writing letters. As he starts planting churches, he starts writing letters to these Christians, these new Christians in all these churches that he's starting. And the one we're going to look at today is the very first church in Europe. It's in Greece in this little town named Philippi. Now, I flew over Philippi. I've never been there. I flew over it about a week and a half ago on our way back from Africa. We went from Kenya to Zurich, and we flew over Greece. I'm like, ah, there's Philippi down there. That's where it all started in Europe right there. And so Paul, 10 years later, after he starts his church, he writes this letter to them, and this is like so valuable to them, because they're like, this is from the guy who started our church. All right, this is the guy that started this whole thing in motion right here. And so they make copies of this letter, and they circulate it to everybody that's connected to the church. And eventually this letter, it becomes a part of the New Testament. In fact, we know it as the book of Philippians. It's not really a book, though. It's just a letter that got included in the Bible. All right, now in this letter, he gives a whole different picture of what it means to follow Jesus, what Christianity is. It's probably different than what some of us have been living, and probably different than what some of us have been taught, you know, from our childhood. And so here's what he writes to these Christians in Philippi. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 says, I thank God every time I remember you. Now it's been about 10 years, you know, since he saw them. So he's like, every time I think about you, I just have to stop. And I thank God for, like, all that you've meant to me. He says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, this is kind of a setup for what I want us to look at today, but I need to pause as well because every time I read this, in fact, I read this to our team in Kenya last week because this is just like an overwhelming scripture for me. Every time I read this, I have to pause because I'm just extraordinarily grateful for the hundreds of you who have partnered with us together in what God is doing right here through this community. And I get overwhelmed by it, if I can be honest. And so let me just say, if you're sitting in the seats today, or maybe you're listening to the podcast online, or your children are out in kids' environments, or wherever, you're surrounded by a group of Christians who did not dumb Christianity down to just behave better. This is a group of people who get it, who believe God has bigger things he wants to do in and through us. This is why, like, if you see your small group leader, you should just give them a hug today, all right? If you run into them today, or if your kids are in kids' environments, when you pick them up, you should be, like, fist bumping, high-fiving the volunteers back there, thanking them for helping your kids understand this big thing God has for their life. I mean, you should be tipping, like, the greeters at the front doors, and I'm just saying, like you're surrounded by people who get this, who understand the beauty that God has way more in store from us than just, like, modify your behavior a bit. And so Paul, he gives us this big idea that we're going to kind of look at and unpack this morning. Here's what he says next in verse 6. He says, being confident of this, in other words, he's saying, I'm confident this is going to pan out this way. Being confident of this, that he, meaning God, who began a good work in you. Now this is so big right here. What Paul's saying right here is when you became a Christian, for those of us who have taken a step of faith to receive Jesus, when you took that step of faith, he's like, God began doing something in you. Meaning, the very same power that raised Jesus from the grave, that caused him to walk out of that grave, that same power began something inside of you. Now, when you and I are in a mess, like when we find ourselves in a mess or we've created or we've kind of messed up a relationship or a marriage or whatever it might be, we often like plead with Jesus, Jesus, just fix it. Jesus, would you just fix this thing? Would you just like help me not to experience all the residual of this? And Jesus, usually his response to us is, no, I just want you to follow me. We're like, well, no, Jesus, I just want you to like take care of this whole thing right now. Just like figure this whole thing out so I don't have to deal with it anymore. And yet Jesus usually is again like, just follow me. He always was just inviting people to follow him. See, fixing the mess is immediate, but following is a process. And see, what God wants to do in you and what God wants to do in me is he's changing us over time. And it takes time because growth takes time. I mean, the end game of Christian faith is maturity. Right? The end game is not behave better. It's not like, you know, mind your P's and Q's. And you can't rush maturity. Right? You can cram and rush for an exam. You can cram for like a presentation you may have tomorrow, but you can't cram for maturity. Like it just happens over time. It's like the law of the harvest. Law of the harvest is like you take a seed and you put it in the ground, right? And then what do? You wait. I mean, you can cultivate it, you can water it, but you cannot make that seed germinate. You can't make that seed bust up through the crust of the earth. I mean, you just have to wait because it takes time. This is the very same thing that God is doing in us. He says, he who began that good work in you, he said, you know, he's gonna continue that thing. Now look at this next word right here, this word in you. Now this is fascinating. See, this is a really big thing right here. What Paul's saying is this is an inside-out thing. All right, he's saying God works inside of us to bring something out of us. So God wants to do something in you, and sometimes you don't see all the exterior of what he's doing, you know, on the inside, but he's doing something inside of you that's eventually going to come out, and it's way more than just modifying your behavior. It's way more than just, well, I hope I can be better, or you know, I hope I can stay out of trouble. It's way more than that. In essence, he's renewing your heart and he's renewing your mind. And he's renewing your heart and he's renewing your mind. And so ultimately, his goal is that there's a different kind of energy coming out of you. That there's something that's happening on the inside is eventually coming out. And we have to allow God to continue that work over time, that thing that he began in us, that moment we stepped into faith. And so if your approach to faith has been one that's kind of like, well, I really need to stop this, and oh man, I really need to start doing that, and I need to stop, you know, doing this thing and start, you know, doing this. If it's just a start-stop routine, you know what Paul would say to you? He'd be like, relax, relax. He'd say, look, God is going to complete this thing that he began in you. Your role and my role is to simply partner with him in the process. He's began something. He's began something inside of you, and he's going to carry it on to completion. And look at what he says here, until the day of Christ, which means this is like for your whole life. It's like a lifelong process. See, here's the thing. God is not trying to keep you from something. God is trying to complete something in you. I mean, so many times we think that Christianity is, oh, I need to, you know, God, this makes God. Not that our lives, you know, don't upset God. I mean, but it's not because, well, I violated this, so God's upset. It's because God says there's certain ways I want you to live, because when you step outside of that, the consequences impact you ongoing. And I hate that for you. See, God's like, I'm more interested in what's going on the inside, because I feel like there's something that if you partner with me that you will become, that helps you get closer and closer to the dream that I dreamed when I breathed your breath into you. And so what is this thing God wants to do in us? Well, he wants to mature us, and he wants to secure us. He wants to help us live more and more out of the greatness that he infused in us from the moment that he brought us into being. And he wants us to live out of a confidence, a greater confidence in who we are and whose we are. And who wouldn't want that? That we live with more confidence in who we are. See, when we agree to participate with our Heavenly Father in this, it does not mean we've got it all figured out. It doesn't mean that we even understand it all. I mean, many times we're like, I don't even understand all of who God is. I don't even understand exactly what God's doing, but okay, God, I'm going to partner with you, and I'm going to trust that you're going to continue to work out this process. And that's way better than just like modifying my behavior. And so then Paul goes on. And he, in this next verse, verse 9, he begins to talk about like his prayer for these new Christians. Now, before we look at Paul's prayer right here, he says, I'm gonna complete this thing that's already began in you, and here's my prayer for you. But I want us to pause for a moment, and I want you to ask yourself, like, what, before we look at what Paul prayed for us, just ask yourself, like, what do you pray for you when you pray? All right, regardless of whether you're spiritual or religious or not, I mean, we all pray for things at times, right? At least when we get in a mess. When we get in a mess, we're like, oh, God, please help me. Everybody seems to pray, even if you really don't have a spirituality in those moments. But when you pray for you, like, what do you pray for? What do you pray for you? Because, you know, if we were to, like, make a list of the things we pray, which you might want to do this week, might be good to just list it out. Just look at what the things are you typically pray for. I mean, they're probably pretty shallow, right? Like, God, help me find my car keys. Really need to get to work. God, you know, could you, like, help me get a front row parking spot at the mall? Like, I really don't have time to walk all the way from the end. And so we pray that when we're driving, right? We pray things like, God, help me pass this test. Help my boss to like my presentation. Will you help her look at me when I'm looking at her? I mean, if you could, like, arrange that, that'd be super cool. I mean, the things we pray are oftentimes pretty shallow, right? And this is so many times why our spiritual life is so flat, because when you pray little prayers, you get little results. When you pray out of insecurity and fear, you live out of insecurity and fear. And so Paul's prayer, it actually tips us off to this bigger thing that he has in store for us. All right, so here's his prayer. He says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. Now, I know that's what you prayed this morning before you came to church, right? How many of us prayed? Like, God, just help my love abound in greater knowledge and depth. A few of you. Awesome. See, Paul, and you're lying. You're totally lying. See, Paul, he's like, here's my prayer for you. He's like, I want your love. Have you ever prayed for your love? Not like prayed for your spouse to love you more. Like, you've prayed that prayer, right? Like, God, would you help her love me more? Would you help him just be more, like, loving toward me? Some of you guys, especially, you're like, God, if you could just help her to want to be a little more intimate tonight, that would be awesome. Like, you pray for that all the time. All right, but have you ever prayed for your love, like the love coming out of your life? Because that's what Paul's praying for right here. He says, I pray that your love, what's coming out of your life from the inside out, may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Basically, what he's saying is, I'm praying you'd learn to be a better lover of people over being a better rule keeper. That you would primarily focus on, it's not about behavior modification. It's about what's coming out of my life toward other people. And then he goes on, so that you may be able to discern what is better or what is best and may be pure, which is sincere and blameless for the day of Christ. In other words, he's like, I want you to be blameless. I mean, the ultimate kind of mark is that you're blameless in the way you interact with other people. He's like, I want you to learn and discern how you can read other people and you can actually be blameless in how you interact with them. Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer for yourself? Because that's what Paul's praying for you right here. In essence, he's kind of saying, you know, the essence of maturity as a follower of Jesus is when you love other people more and more. That's like an indicator. In fact, he's like, not only is this an indicator of maturity, but it's actually just an indicator of like emotional maturity. When you can see another person as God sees them and you can actually respond accordingly. It's like that's kind of like the pinnacle of what I'm trying to grow in you. That's a mark of spiritual maturity, which is way better than just stay out of trouble. And so here's the thing. We've said this before at Crosspoint. We say this all the time. Following Jesus is not primarily about doing what's right. All right, that's moralism. All right, moralism and Christianity aren't the same thing. And here's why. Because when you do what's right, that's still all about you. When you're so focused on, let me just do the right thing, that's all about you. All right, when you're trying to, God, I want to do this to please you, or maybe you'll love me more if I do it this way. Like, that's like old covenant. That's like Old Testament. Jesus is pretty much like, yeah, that's the old way. We're not doing that way anymore. Jesus raised the bar. He says, here's how you're going to know when you're loving God and when you're growing in Christ. It's when your love grows and you treat other people based on how what they need and the way your Heavenly Father would respond to them. And it's not even your prayer life. It's not even, you know, how much scripture you read or not. I mean, those are good things. It's not even how much you've memorized. It's how you see other people and how you respond appropriately. In fact, there's this great moment where Jesus was kind of teaching about, you know, going to the temple. And he talked about how, you know, when you bring your grain offering or your cage of doves or your sheep or whatever you're going to bring for an offering because you've, like, messed things up. He's like, you know, when you mess things up and you, you know, because in the Old Testament, the way that you kind of made yourself right with God was you would bring an offering to sacrifice, an offering to the Lord, and that would cover your sin. That animal gave its life on your behalf and your sin would be covered. And so he's like, you know, when you've kind of made a mess of things and you're standing in line and you go to the synagogue and you're waiting in this long line, I mean, it could be hours. I mean, there could be hundreds of people that are coming to try to make themselves right with God, and the sun's beating on the back of your neck and you're sweating and you wait for like 3 hours and you're fine. Finally getting to the front of the line and you're like position 2 or 3 before you get to make your offering, and all of a sudden it dawns on you, oh my gosh, I really did an in run on this guy and this business deal, or I just totally violated my wife and that wasn't right of me. He says, if you realize that you've like got some relational baggage, like you've messed some things up, he's like, put down the cage of doves, put the grain down, tie the sheep to a pole and get out of line, even if you're in like position 2 or 3 and you've waited all day. He's like, get out of line and go make things right with that person before you make things right with God. And of course, the Jewish culture, I mean, we hear this and we're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's a good story. But for the Jewish culture, I mean, this really ticked them off. I mean, they were like, are you saying, Jesus, that we should put somebody else in front of God? And Jesus is like, no, I'm saying the way you love God is when you put others in front of yourself. He's like, that when you put other people's desires in front of yourself, that's showing me that you're growing. That's how you love your Heavenly Father. So Paul would say, man, you know how I pray for you? I pray in terms of what God is doing, not only inside of you, but that comes out of you. That as you grow in knowledge and as you discern, man, your actions, that flows out of you and you love people bigger and better. That's my prayer for you. That's what I want to birth inside of you. Not behavior modification. We get so hung up on, you know, if I do this or don't do that. I mean, isn't it true? Think about this for a moment. Isn't it true that we rarely make messes of things when we're focused on other people? I mean, isn't that true? I mean, but isn't it true that as long as we're focused on ourselves and what I need, that I just make a mess of things over and over and over? See, Jesus, he wants to complete in you what he's begun. And it's not becoming a better rule keeper, it's becoming a better follower. It's not about becoming a better rule keeper. It's about becoming a better husband or a better wife. It's not about becoming a better, you know, let me keep all the rules. It's about, you know, how am I growing as a son, as an employee, as a boss? I'm like, am I really growing, and am I treating others with a bigger and better love? Because when you do that, that shows that there's something from the inside growing out. I mean, Paul said, I'm absolutely confident of this, that he who began, and in other words, wherever you are in your Christian faith, whether you just began, you know, a relationship with Jesus recently, or you've been walking with him for years, or anywhere in between, or maybe you're here and you're just like on the emergent stage. You're like, I haven't been able to take the step of faith yet. All right, because I don't know if God can do something in my life. Paul's like, I'm confident that he who began this work in you, guess what? He's going to be faithful to complete it. He's going to partner with you to bring that out to completion. So what do we do with this morning? I want to give us a couple next steps that we can tangibly kind of walk out this week. So if you want to take your connection cards out, on the back are some next steps. And I just want to walk us through a few of these. Maybe it's for you coming back next weekend, which would be awesome as we continue this series. But I want to ask you to pray something this week. I really hope this is one we'll all kind of lean into this week. See, we all pray for us about something, right? Even regardless of where you are in your faith, you pray for you for something. All right, and you can keep praying, you know, God, help me get to work on time, and, you know, help me to do good on my algebra test, and, you know, help me to pass this course or this presentation, whatever. Like, keep doing that. That's totally cool. But I want to ask you to consider adding a prayer to your prayer life this week. All right, because as your pastor, like, I want to give you a tool to help you get in tune with what God is doing and wanting to do as he continues this work he's began in you. All right, so would you add this phrase? Would you just add the phrase, God, would you continue to complete the work you've begun in me? I mean, God, I want to do good this week, and help me to not do as many bad things as good things. I mean, keep praying those things, all right? Keep doing that, but would you add this phrase, God or Heavenly Father, would you continue to complete the work that you've begun in me? All right, because I want to partner with you in this thing that you've already begun. And so let's just read this out loud together. All right, let's read this. Here we go. God, would you continue to complete the work you've begun in me? One more time. God, would you continue to complete the work you've begun in me? Could you make this one of your next steps this week? Will you just build that into your prayer time every day? And I'll tell you something. As you begin to do that, it's going to tune your heart to what God is already doing. When we were meeting with our team each evening while we were over in Makatano with the Village Project, every evening we'd debrief with our team. And very first night, we asked the question, you know, why are you here? Why do you feel like God brought you on this trip? And many people in our group said, you know, I don't know why I'm here. I mean, God, I just feel like God nudged me and said, you need to go on this trip. But I'm trying to figure out, like, why I'm here. And so as we went throughout the week, we kind of revisit that at times. And I even heard a few people throughout the week say, man, I'm still trying to figure out why God, you know, had me come on this trip. And it was amazing to me because I'm watching them interact. I'm watching, you know, what God's doing in their life. And I told them, I said, man, I could tell every single one of you what God has you here for. In fact, for one guy, it's like he's a business owner. We have two guys that are business owners, and they're like, it's a terrible time for me to be away. I mean, I'm away while my business is running in the height of its season. And I said, you know, maybe there's a trust thing God's developing that he's showing you, that your life is way bigger than your career. I mean, your business is running fine. I mean, it's running without you because you've set it up that way, but you responded to God's nudge to do something and you're here. And maybe God's showing you that, man, I want to do something through your life way bigger than just what you do for a living. And you're blessing people and you're blessing students and your heart's full of generosity and you're sponsoring students coming home. I mean, I can tell you, God's doing something big. Because you're partnering with him. And so maybe this week it's praying that prayer, God, would you continue to just complete the work you've begun? Now this second one, this is kind of a crazy one. We just felt impressed by God this week that this weekend needs to be a baptism weekend. So we're doing a pop-up baptism this morning. How about that? Who? Yeah, I know, I'm kind of excited about it too. Now, we didn't announce this. We just, you know, as we've been going through this series, here's kind of why we're doing this morning. Because last weekend I was sitting in here and I thought, man, this is landing really well with a lot of us. I mean, we all identify with being in a hot mess at time or two or 10. Like, we can all connect with that. And it's in the midst of that we realize our need for a Savior. And so one of the reasons we decided to add a baptism today is I think that there's probably a number of us who have never taken the step of baptism. Like, we've began a relationship with Jesus privately, personally in our hearts, and we've decided that, but we've never just expressed that outwardly through baptism because we just felt like, man, my life is too much of a mess. And people who get in that tub, man, they got to have it all together. Well, let me tell you something. That tub is not for people who have it all together. I wouldn't be able to get in there. All right, that tub is for people who have said, you know what, I've begun a relationship with Jesus and he meets me in my hot mess and I'm just publicly declaring that I put my trust in him and I've received his grace and I'm gonna partner with him to work the rest out. It's not about I've got it all together. And see, so many times I just think that we don't take the step of baptism because we're afraid that people are gonna look at us and go, oh my gosh, well, they're a mess, right? We all are. That's why we realize our need for a savior. And so, you know, if you've been in this cycle, you've committed your life to Christ, but you just find yourself in that weekly cycle of sinning in some of the same ways and trying to modify your behavior and come back for forgiveness and then sinning again and come back for forgiveness. I mean, God's grace will continue to be there, but he has way more in store for you than that. And see, I believe that baptism is a gateway. I mean, it's something Jesus calls us to do. And I think the reason he calls us to follow him in baptism, to be saved and baptized, is because there's something that happens when we step into the waters. It's like we're saying, God, I'm trusting that this thing you've began in me, that we're gonna partner together. And when we're obedient in the small steps, it like opens up the gateway for bigger things, for God to continue to develop new things. And I just believe the Holy Spirit does like an infusion of power when we take that step. Publicly say, Jesus, I'm with you and you're with me. And I don't have it all together. And I'm still in the midst of a hot mess, but you're my savior. And I believe it's a step towards saying, Jesus, I want to partner with you. And this work that you've begun, I'm going to trust you're going to complete it. And so we're gonna have baptisms today for anybody that wants to step into the waters of baptism. We don't have anybody planned today. Nobody came prepared for baptism today. But the crazy thing is we prepared for you. And so our team is already out in the commons. They left a few moments ago. They're ready to serve you to help you get, you know, shorts and t-shirts. And they've got brand new undergarments. You're not wearing like any, you know, laundered up somebody's old underwear. We got brand new underwear you can put on. All right, so towels, hair product, everything you need to take the step of baptism if that's your next step today. And if you've received Jesus and not stepped into the waters, man, can I just say that really is your next step? Or maybe you were christened as a baby, maybe you were baptized as a baby on your parents' choice. And since you've said, you know, I'm following Jesus, but you've never personally chose to be baptized based on your own belief, I'm telling you, there's something powerful about taking this step. It's saying, Jesus, I want to partner with you, and I'm trusting you are going to complete the work that you've begun. I don't even know how it's going to work, but I'm going to trust you in this. So let's go ahead and stand. And if you are just God's nudge in your heart to take this step today, you can walk out right now. Our team is in the commons. They'll meet you out there. I'm going to pray for us. While I'm praying, you can walk out. We're going to sing three songs. At any point during these three songs, you can walk out as well, and our team will help you get prepared for this to be your baptism today, if today's your day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for Paul and just this this picture that he gives us of this work that you want to do inside of us. It's way more than just not messing up again. It's way more than not getting into that thing again, even though those are good things. But God, that you want to do something from the inside out and that we don't have to figure it out on our own. That we can say, Jesus, I'm going to partner with you and I'm going to trust that you're going to complete the thing, the good thing that you began in me. That moment I believed. And I'm going to trust that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to be at work in my life. And I may not always see the evidence of it, but I'm going to trust and continue to partner with you in this. And so, Father, help us to know what to do with this week, what that looks like for us, how to build this into our prayer. And God, I pray that you tune our hearts to what you're doing. Father, for those of us who maybe are contemplating baptism right now today, God, I pray that you give us just a dose of courage right now if that's our next step. So we can take this step and we can follow you and we can say to you, Jesus, God, I don't even fully understand it, but I have put my faith in you. Or if you're here for the first time and you're like, I just need to put my faith in Jesus, the only question I'm going to ask you when you get in the tub is, who's your Savior? And if you want to say Jesus Christ and begin that relationship, man, make this your baptism today. So God, we're going to celebrate any baptisms that happen today. We're going to worship, we're going to sing, and we're going to just thank you for all that you've done. And for meeting us where we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to baptisms the rest of the service. Van's going to lead us in a couple songs. First one talks about how we belong. I mean, there is no shame. I mean, wherever we are, whatever mess we've made, Jesus meets us there and welcomes us. So let's sing these together.